we as humans are here to share our journeys with each other, share mm-hmm. stories with each other, because everybody's journey has a place and everybody's journey is going to inspire different people. And I truly believe that we are meant to cross paths, like all of us here, you know, whoever's listening, we're meant to cross paths. I think that you have such a bigger reach with a book.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Well, hey, girl. On today's show, we're going to talk about how to write your bestseller book. Y'all want to write a book? I've dreamed about it for years, and I'm so excited because our guest today is 11-time best-selling author and coach, Vicki Gould. Vicki, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I am so excited to have you and to be able to share the information that you teach with all of our listeners. You've inspired me. I have to tell you, we just met a few weeks ago and we've had some really powerful conversations and I've introduced you to several people yeah. that I really care about. And I am continually impressed with what I learned from you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad that we were able to meet as well. I feel like we just hit it off right away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm excited to learn more about you and the magic that you work with, the people that you work with. And I know that, Andrea has been really excited, so I can vouch for that as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you today.
Awesome.
Well, I'm so grateful because my good friend Mary Lyons introduced me and Vicki, and the way that she introduced you, she was like, Vicki's on the Inc. 5000 list. I'm like, what? She sounds amazing. And I didn't even know all the good things that you do, but I'm excited to dig in with you today and be able to have you transfer some of your knowledge about how to write a best-selling book and all the things that you help your students with to yeah. our listeners. Because I know that this is a big dream for a lot of women, is the idea of writing a book. So talk to us about that. Like,
yeah,
how many people want to write a book and why yeah. is it something that's a dream in our heart? It's such a weird common dream.
Yeah. It's like 80, 81% of the population wants to write a book. The really? Problem is only 1% ever finish and publish it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And only 3% actually start.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot of thinking going on and not a lot of writing.
Yeah. You know, why do you think that number is so low as far as wanting to do it and then actually taking action?
Yeah, a number of things, right? I think it's human nature that if you don't have a reason and a deadline, you don't really do the thing, right? There's also this whole fear of, it's funny, when you write it, you're going, oh my gosh, is anybody going to even read this thing?
Okay. Yeah.
But then the problem is when you get finished, you're like, oh crap, somebody might read this thing. And then what happens? What if they don't like it? What if they don't yeah. like me? What if they're judgy about my story? What if my English isn't that great? Mm-hmm. You know, like I think people have a lot of different fears come up based on how well they did in English in mm-hmm. school, you know, things that people have said to them during their life.
Yeah.
And then life gets in the way. You end up having to take care of the kids. Like, seriously, have to figure out what to make for dinner every day. Like, is that not enough?
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
literally one of the biggest stresses of my life.
Yes. Well, yeah. Whoever thought being an adult was like, wait, I got to figure this out. We didn't have to before.
So would you say writing a book tends to be more therapeutic for most people?
Actually, I think that's a surprising outcome that people don't realize. So the people that I work with, they're generally entrepreneurs who have big hearts and big missions. They've got big things they want to do in the world, right? And that book is supposed to help them with their credibility, their authority. It also helps them to get clients. A lot of them have coaching programs, other things that they're doing. And so that book is like a marketing tool for them, you know? And I think that, oh my gosh, now I lost my train of thought, Brenda.
Sorry.
She said, well, Brenda was asking, is writing a book therapeutic?
Yes. Thank you very much. That's my Lyme brain kicking in. Sorry. Anyways, when they're done with it, they say to me, Vicky, you know what? Writing my story and sharing that and going through that, and because we only write stories that you're over the hump, you're on the other side of that story. Mm-hmm. We don't use the book, nor should you use your book as your therapy platform. But during that process, sometimes they're like, you know what, this came up and that came up. And by the time I got done, I worked through all of that. So writing was really therapeutic. Sharing with the world was more therapeutic than I thought. You know, like, I think that's why a lot of people journal too, like diaries and stuff like that. Is writing's always been therapeutic.
Absolutely. And, awesome. And Vicky, tell us about how you got started writing in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I think I was like a lot of people, dream of this book, not really sure exactly what to write. That's another reason why it doesn't get done. They're like, I could write about this or I could write about that. And, you know, you're not really sure where it's going to go. And I was an avid reader as a kid. You know, my mom was basically like, you go to school, you come home, you play piano, you study some more, like no playtime. This is not what this is about. And she didn't bother me nearly as much if I was reading a book, although she called the books that I read junk books because they were fiction. But I also think that the reason that I do well with storytelling and being able to, empathize with people is because I've lived life through the eyes of so many different characters through my life. Unfortunately, I don't get to read as much as I used to, but I used to bring home like 10 books. That was the max every week, and read all 10, return, read all 10. And I eventually read the whole entire library, the children's elementary section library, not the adult section. And, you know, I think that's probably where I thought, one day I want to write a book. One day I want to write a book. And it just kept going. One day I want to write a book. One day I want to write a book. And what happened was in 2009, I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know much about that, it's kind of like MS, lupus, fibromyalgia, dementia, and chronic fatigue and vertigo all wrapped up in one.
Yeah.
And it came to a point where I was spending 16 to 18 hours a day in bed. Wow. And the doctor was like, you know what? You have the body of an 80-year-old. Accept it. Go home. This is how you're going to live the rest of your life. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I kept bringing him stuff. Like, let's try this. Let's try that. And he's like, stop bringing me stuff. Go home and accept it. And I'm not that type of person, you know? And the days would go by, and this went on for 2.5 years, 3 years after the diagnosis. And I was sick years before that. They just didn't know what it was. Right. And it came to a point where I said to myself, Vicky, you've got to figure this out or you got to be done. Like, it wasn't that I wanted to be done with life. I just didn't have quality of life. And so that's why those thoughts had come to me, you know, you're going to end this or you're going to figure it out. Right. My kids were young. I still wanted to see them grow up. I wanted to meet my grandchildren, you know, but it's like my little guy would come up to me and be like, Mama, can you come to my school party? And I'm like, oh, baby, I'm sorry. I really, really can't. He'd crawl in bed and snuggle with me. And I knew he was sad, but it was like the last time I tried to go to a school function for just a couple hours. Number one, couldn't even concentrate on the thing. And then number two, it took me 7 days. It took me a week to recover after going out for just a couple hours. I just can't do it. Just driving the kids to school, I was exhausted. I'd drive them to school, come back home, sleep. My kids would know that when they came home, they got dropped off, that they need to be quiet because I was probably sleeping. And that was my life. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is this really it? I sat with a lot of regrets and a lot of ponderings on what I had done so far and all the things that I told myself I'd do later, like go to Paris and travel and, you know, all the things that moms say, we'll do it after the kids are grown, you know, and you know, you got to spend it on their extracurriculars right now. There's no extra money, you know, all those things. I was like, I'm never going to get to it. Never going to get to it. But then I started reading and I was in some forums and stuff like that. Those back before Facebook was a thing, we were in forums. And I remember reading a couple books. specifically one guy, he cured his own Crohn's disease. And I was like, wait a minute, incurable diseases, cancer, people figuring it out. Like, how is this happening? And if they can do it, why can't I? And that's when I went on this journey to learn more about frequencies and Rife and sound healing and herbalism and all that stuff. But out of it, every time I talked to people, it was always my story that got them interested in whatever I was doing. And I realized that the power of storytelling in marketing and everything. And I think I'm just a normal gabber. I was the one who got in trouble all the time in school for talking too much. Same with my kids. Get phone calls, your kids are talking too much. Yeah, that was me. So it's kind of funny now that a lot of what I do has to do with talking and words and things that I got in trouble for. I think a lot of people that happens, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, so those stories inspired me to get better, to know that I could do it, that I didn't have to accept what the doctors were telling me. And I realized without those stories, without people sharing stories, like how does anything in the world just happen then? You know, like we as humans are here to share our journeys with each other, share stories with each other. And that's why now, you know, it is really such a blessing and honor to be able to help people to get those words out of their head onto paper, because everybody's journey has a place and everybody's journey is going to inspire different people. And I truly believe that we are meant to cross paths, like all of us here, you know, whoever's listening, we're meant to cross paths. Me and Andrea through Mary, we were meant to cross paths. I don't think there's accidents there. And now I get to meet Brenda. So this is just getting like even better, right? Just rolling and rolling. And I think that you have such a bigger reach with a book. Oh, yeah. You can talk to people and not have to be there to talk to that person, and they get to know you and they can hear your heart. You tell it right. And there is a heart connection in that reading. You know, I'm sure you've read books like that. Some of them really move you and some of them don't. Right. Yeah. And what we're going for is that heart connection, because that's inspiring. Mm-hmm. And it's about being vulnerable and sharing those ugly, messy parts of you, you know, the things that you're like, oh my gosh, should I really say that? I'm embarrassed. That's where you need to go. You know, so long as you're on the other side, you know, that show people how it was, because I think these days people want real and people relate to real, and they're tired of fake marketing and they're tired of people thinking they need to show up and look all put together and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like in the beginning, I used to get a lot more dressed up. I would put makeup on, blood, you know, the whole thing. I don't do any of that now. I just show up however I show up. And I don't, get me wrong, I still have this obsession with shoes and clothes and all of that. But I work from home. I work from home. So, you know, it's like even now I've got my unicorn slippers on. And it's just, I think that showing your humanity and showing your realness is what people want.
Yeah.
And we get to do that in a book. And then, as I said, those coaches and entrepreneurs get to use that book as a way to reach more people, impact more lives, and then as well grow their business. So it has a lot of different purposes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something earlier, which I think that a lot of us probably deal with, which is we have so many ideas and so many stories in our head. Which one do we start with?
Yeah.
How do you help people get to that point of this is where you want to start, or this is the story you should start with? How do you do that? Is it like a brainstorming session, or how?
Sometimes it is a brainstorming session. Sometimes it's a simple question. What do you want this book to lead to? Because in marketing, because I'm a real marketing nerd, The way to kill your business is the number one, not meaning you're ranking number one, because in Asian, that would be great. My mom would be like, what do you mean one is bad? But one is bad, because if you only have one thing, then it's a dead end, right? Everything that you have needs to lead to something else, lead to something else, lead to more, lead to more, lead to more. So what is it that you are most known for? Like the thing that is the most favorite thing for you to do. And that book should lead to that.
Okay.
You can always write another book. Most of my people have used the process more than once to write another book. Later on, they'll like message me, oh, guess what? I put another book out. Guess what? So some of them put 2-3 books out now because the process that I give makes it so easy to finish that now they feel like, okay, I'm on a roll. I know how to do this. I can do it again.
That's awesome. Okay.
Okay. So I'm so excited about your process. So, and you have a coaching program where you help people to get the book out of their head and not only onto paper, but make it to a bestseller. And it's your Easy Writer bestseller program. Did I get that right?
Correct.
Okay. So I want to give people just a little bit of a sneak peek because you have a fascinating system for how you actually can get a book written in less than 6 months. So would you just give us a hint, like how do you get a book out of your head and onto paper?
Well, it does first start with that clarity about what it is that you're writing, right? You need to know what that is. But even more so, it's like what I was just saying is the book is a piece of something. The book is not the project. It's a piece of a bigger project and it's to help you with that authority and credibility, right? But in order to really get the book to work, you really need to have other pieces with it, right?
Right.
So before I get into like the process of like how you get it like in 30, 60 days, I want to make sure people understand that the book needs to have support. Mm-hmm. And so I have a formula called the FAME formula for legendary impact. So it is, I love acronyms, FAME. And I like alliteration. So my other thing is a 5S system. So, you know, easy to remember, but just imagine a stool. So this is a stool, right? My son made this for me on his 3D printer. This top thing is your book, right? And so it's following, authoring, multiplying, and then elevating.
Okay.
And so that writes out those different pieces, right? And you need to have all of them. And I don't want to take up too much time. So basically, here's the thing. Remember how I said the book is not the project. So here's just the book. You got the book, you're going to have to sell the book.
Yeah.
And that goes into, are you an author or are you an author entrepreneur? Authors just, I shouldn't say just, have books and that's their livelihood. They write books and they write more books. They write more books and they sell books. Nothing wrong with it. Most of the people that I work with, though, are entrepreneurs. So they're author entrepreneurs, not authors, they're author entrepreneurs, where they're using that book as leverage, as credibility, like I keep saying, as a way for people to get to know them, impact. I mean, use it on your speaking gigs, you know, sign books at the back of the room, that kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with just having a book. But again, now you're going to be obsessed with selling the book. If it leads to something that's like 3,000, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, then you're going to make so much more money off of that book. So all these things, the following, growing your following, multiplying your impact, elevating it and authoring it. These three things hold up this stool. If one of them is missing, this stool is going to fall over. It doesn't stand anymore. So you need to make sure that you have all these pieces before you get started. You need to understand that this is the process, right? You don't have to have it all together in the beginning, but eventually that's what you're going to want to have so that it's going to make the biggest impact that it can, right?
Yeah.
That's helpful. And then
in order to get that book to just dump out of your head, right? Now you know that there's this thing that I love to do. This book is going to lead people to that. The book is going to create this want and desire for them. They're just going to start raising their hands, say, yep, I want the next thing. And basically what we do is we say, okay, do you have a process? And please name that process and put a little TM next to it. Name that process. Now you are the only person who has that process. And you're going to talk about that process inside your book. So let's say there are 10 steps to your process. So now you've got 10 chapters Mm-hmm. And inside each of those chapters, you might have three sub steps, right? I love the number three. People can usually remember it. Unless mm-hmm. you're going to the grocery store, you can remember three things. You go to the grocery store, you only remember one, and then you're like, you're off on a tangent. But anyway, three things per chapter, right? 3 times 10. You write one of those bullet points, like a long blog post, right? You add a story in there. You give some points. And that's a long blog post. You write that long blog post one per day, and in 30 days, you're done. Can you write a long blog post in a day? It's not going to take you very long, especially because it's your system. You right. know it inside and out. It shouldn't yeah. be hard. It's your stories, right? So it shouldn't be hard. And if you want to take the weekends off, then do it in 60 days, and then mm-hmm. you're done. That's pretty simple. I think we overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Can we just talk about that for a second? Why does it feel like, why do we put so much pressure on getting like on the idea? And like, why do we make it so hard? Because you just described something that me and Brenda are like, I can do that.
Oh yeah.
Right?
That's doable.
Yeah, so that's doable. But why do mm-hmm. why do we build it into something that feels way harder than that?
Yeah, I think we do that just human nature, but also mm-hmm. I think the longer you put it off, the bigger you make it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I was a hot mess as a teenager. I don't know about you guys, but I'm home and threw my clothes all over the floor. Yeah. I had a big old pile on the floor. And then my mom would be like, you need to clean your room. I don't want to clean my room. Look at this big old pile. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to clean my room, whatever. And then what do? I sort the socks. I do a couple things, you know, and I'm not really cleaning the room. Oh, look at this. I just found a notebook that I had from years ago. Let me read that. Right. And you're not really cleaning your room. Next day comes around, you throw more stuff. And literally that molehill becomes a huge mountain.
Yeah.
And now you really don't want to do it. And I think we grow that mountain in our head the longer we put off the book, the yeah. longer we've been thinking about it, the bigger the mountain, it seems. And it's really not.
Yeah. I know for me, you know, in thinking about it, because I've always, you know, I'm the kind of person that believes that everybody has at least one book in them, if yeah. not multiple books.
Yeah.
But because I did not have a lot of exposure to how to pull my thoughts together and put it on paper, organize it or whatever, for a minute, I thought I had to write my book in the order you read it. And then I realized like, no, you can just, you know, brainstorm, write notes here and there, whatever. Yeah. I'm learning that now.
Yeah.
But prior to this season of my life, I was like, I should be able to write chapter 1 through 10 and edit it and everything. And yeah. it's just not realistic.
I love that you said that, because I do tell my students and clients, write the one that you can write the fastest, the easiest first. So it might be chapter 6, and then right. you jump back to chapter 2, and then you jump over to chapter 8. There's nothing wrong with it. Who made up those rules anyway?
Exactly. You know, giving myself permission to change my mind is one big thing that I like to do. And mm-hmm. even in this, like you said, I might sit down and write down some information and really lean into it and realize like, this is actually the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm so excited about what you have to share. And I'm definitely going to try and get myself on board with your program, because I need this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you yeah. for sharing that.
So Vicky, who should definitely have a book? Like, who is your program for that mm-hmm. they're going to absolutely benefit from this? And yeah. if they're listening, they need to raise their hand.
Well, I mean, everybody, but you know, that's bad marketing too, to say everybody. Cause if you say everybody, then you serve nobody. Right. My youngest author was 9 years old.
Wow.
And I had 2 children write books. And they were kids' books. And that's mm-hmm. not usually what I do. However, the people that signed them up really wanted this for them. One of them was a mom. And it was really, really kind of like, it was really touching, because mm-hmm. her daughter wrote this book. It was a fiction book, and she's autistic. So she was made fun of at school. She didn't have a lot of friends, didn't talk a lot. She had an older brother. She hit bestseller, and that older brother was like, what? She shows up after summer camp and, you know, summer's over, and shows up to the next year of school, and they're all like, she's a best-selling author. What?
Yeah.
It was awesome. I loved hearing the stories about that, but that's not my ideal client. My ideal client is somebody who is an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. who wants to use their book to grow their business, create more impact, reach more people. It does not matter if you're just starting out. Like, if you are starting out, this is a great way to launch a program, launch a business, because now you've got that instant credibility.
Yeah.
And if you've been in business for a while and you haven't written your book, I'm kind of like, well, why have you not written your book yet? And yeah. if that's the case, probably people have already said that you should write a book.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I know one of my clients had said to me, this was the time for her to write it because she was sick of herself. She was sick of herself procrastinating, and she's like, I'm so sick of myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. And now she has 3 best-selling books.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, like, because most everybody knows I'm working on my book right now. I'm very excited. It is time. But some, like, I can really relate to that, her story. Like, I'm sick of myself. Yeah. Like, I found myself, and Brenda, you know this, because you and I were having this conversation, is I found myself at the beginning of this year, after I had been gone for 3 months doing stuff with family, taking care of people, we had a birth in the family, we had a death in the family. I came back and moved, and I felt like I had this emotional hangover, and I took myself to a coffee shop. And because I was like, I better get out of this funk, because I didn't feel like doing anything. And I was feeling this sort of dissatisfaction. And I know that I always know for me that that's usually related to some kind of unrealized potential or something that I'm not doing that I feel like I should be doing. And I feel bad about it. Like, it makes me feel bad about myself when I feel like I'm not doing what I should or could do that would be fulfilling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I took myself to a coffee shop and I sat down and I wrote for 3 hours, and coming out of that journaling process was my clarity. It is time. It is time to write the dang book. Mm-hmm. And I feel like and I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but the times in my life where I feel the most frustrated and discontent and irritable is when I am putting off doing the thing that I know I need to do.
Yeah.
When I am resisting the calling, and when I am procrastinating, I know that I know what I should do, and I don't want to do it, and I'm not doing it.
It's that energetic misalignment that you feel, and it's just kind of yucky, and it's like, can't really quite place it exactly, but
And I think we beat ourselves up for the things that, like, the shoulds, like, I should be doing this. And then we get in our head and we get in that spiral of like, but what if nobody reads it? What if somebody reads it?
Right. I had a coach who always said, don't should on yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Well, and I say that what you want most is on the other side of what you resist most.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And when I know that's true, I just ask myself, what's the thing I'm resisting most right now? Mm-hmm. And if that's writing your book, y'all know what you need to do.
Right.
That's right. Now, do you have any suggestions as far as, like, or do you give input as far as how long the book should be? How many pages?
Oh, I love this question, Brenda. I love this. It's as long as it should be. Okay. I know everybody hates that. So here's the thing. I have had clients write what's called a short read. Short read is something that you can read in 2 hours or less. Mm-hmm. And then I've had people write very thick books. Okay. I've had times where we had to finagle the margins a little bit. But it boils down to, content is never too long. It's only too boring.
Okay.
So if your content is boring, it's too long, obviously, right? But if it's really engaging, then people are going to keep turning the pages and turning the pages and turning the pages. Statistics show that most people don't get past chapter 3 put your best stuff in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think people also try to wait and keep the best part to the last, because that's what we've always, you know, you wait till last. Yeah. I personally eat dessert first, then I eat dinner, and then I eat dessert again.
Yeah, I like
that. One of my friend's moms was just like, okay, I know how she does this. Here's your dessert, and I'll give you another dessert. I always got two desserts. It was so funny. Everybody else got one, and I got two desserts. It was kind of funny. But when you're writing your book, you just have to think, okay, how much do I need to write in order to make my point and for them to be complete with what I'm giving them? Okay. Now take complete with a grain of salt, because you don't really want to leave everybody complete. We've been taught that too. Leave them complete. Well, yes, complete in what you're sharing, but then you also have to let them know what they don't know, so they want the next step. Otherwise, they're going to say, okay, this was great. Thank you. Bye.
Right.
You want them to reach out. You want them to be motivated to say, I need the next step. I need more of this. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of those things, right? Being interesting, kind of cliffhanger-ish, I guess, but also having some sort of pieces where they're complete and feeling like they're walking away with something, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's how you figure out how many words. There's no set number of words.
Now, do you feel that, you know, actually reading books and then audible books now, of course, is something that we, you know, became available in the last, I don't know, 10, 20 years. Yeah. Do you think that has changed the exposure? As compared, when you said that people usually don't go beyond the third chapter, but if they have an audible book, and a lot of people spend more time in the car or going to and from, do you find that they tend to stay in those books a little bit longer, the audible, as compared to the
ones? I don't know the statistics about that, but that's a good point. You know, I am much more apt to get further in a book when I can listen to it, because I can do that while I'm cooking, while I'm taking a bath, you know, anything. So I would think that it does. And that's probably why audible books are so popular as well, you know. Yeah, but Amazon has made it really easy. Oh, I'm sorry, Brenda.
I said, then that one tool becomes two. Because it's almost like, you know, when you're reading it, it's in your mind and you think the voice sounds like this. But then when you hear it, it could almost change the story.
Yeah, it can, depending on that voice. I'm actually reading a book right now that's a little dry. And the voice that is used is like a robotic, emotionless. It's very hard to pay attention. I'm like, okay, pay attention. He's saying something important here. So I might end up having to actually read it instead, which is not bad, but yeah.
Okay. So I'm sure you get this question a lot because you've had 11 best-selling books. What does bestseller even mean?
Yeah.
Are we talking New York Times? Are we talking Amazon? What do we mean by bestseller?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different categories, right? You know, New York Times is probably one of those very highly coveted ones. Amazon bestseller is what I help people with. Mm-hmm. And I like that Amazon's very mathematical about the whole entire thing. Wall Street Journal and USA Today are mathematical as well. So let's start with Amazon. Amazon is about the velocity of sales in a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So they calculate that, like they do that on all the products on Amazon. It's not just books. So if you look at anything, even like a kitchen spatula, you can see what it ranks within that category. And please don't, just side note, please don't pick basket weaving because it's a small category and put your book in there and then, that's not going to work. Anyways, I mean, it might work, but it's not really legit. But basically what we do is we try to cram in a whole bunch of sales in a short amount of time to get to bestseller. There's multiple ways to do it. Some people have certain launch dates and they go after that launch date, and other people will try like a pre-sell method, and mine is not a pre-sell method. However, it's all the same. They're calculating how many books have sold within a certain length of time compared to other books. And then for Amazon, bestseller is anything ranking 100 or better. Mm. So within that category, if you ranked 100 or better, you'll be on their list. Now, most people want to be number one. And I would say of the 172 people, 170 of them ranked number one, and many of them did so internationally as well. Two of them didn't quite follow the process, but that's okay. They still became bestsellers, and they're still like 5 and 7. So I've never had anybody less than that. and we get to bestseller within 24 hours. The shortest Wow. amount of time was six hours, I think. And then another one just told me that he did it in 12 minutes. It was crazy. Wow. They did a Zoom party, so it was a little different. They did a whole Zoom party, and then they kind of went, okay, go. So with us, we generally give people the whole entire day, but that Zoom party was like everybody just bought it all at once. And so I was like, oh, that was actually a really good idea. Maybe we should try that. It was really
a good idea.
So then when you do USA Today and Wall Street Journal, they're kind of the same. They mm-hmm. use a third-party ranking system. BookScan ranks it, and that's based on ISBN. Now, you need to know that the Audible book, the digital book, and the print book are all different ISBNs, mm-hmm. so they don't combine them. Mm-hmm. Anyways, they take that in a week's time, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I apologize. One of them ranks like 10 of them. Another one has more than that, but it's a shorter list, fewer categories, and it's based on that ISBN number of sales that have been logged for that ISBN. Wow. And then New York Times bestseller. This one is the one that's very mysterious because there's some group of people, who knows who they are, who decide which books they want to evaluate. They don't do it based on sales. They used to do it based on sales. So you mm-hmm. could actually buy your own book and buy like 20,000, 70,000 copies and get yourself to the New York Times bestseller list, but mm-hmm. they don't let you do that anymore.
Right.
Okay. So I had an old coach who was a New York Times bestselling author, and she sold her book to universities, institutions mm-hmm. and stuff. So like five of them bought like 4,000 copies, 5,000 copies each. She instantly became a New York Times bestselling author. Okay. On Amazon, that counts as one. Like you cannot get your mom to buy 500 copies and it counts. It's one. Mm. So that's why sometimes I'm like, you know, I get that New York Times is very coveted, and I wouldn't say that I would decline being on the New York Times bestseller list. However, some of those things just make it not really something that's, it's not easy to say, okay, this one's the clear winner mm-hmm. because it's subjective, and they right. only pick certain books and they only look at certain books, and how you get on their radar, nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. So, mysterious.
Yeah, it's a little more mysterious. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you are such a wealth of knowledge and information about this. I love what you're doing. I think you're making a huge difference in the world. I don't know if anybody caught that, but Vicki has helped 172 author entrepreneurs get their book to bestseller status.
Well, a couple of them were kids, so I guess we gotta take two of them out.
not less impressive, let me tell you. Okay. So Vicki, like, you are obviously a coach who encourages people to take action, and that's one of the things we do on this podcast. What is one thing that you would encourage our listeners to do this week to take bold action?
Yeah. It might seem counterintuitive, but you really need to learn to be.
Mm.
And being is almost the opposite of doing, but being will get you to do, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. what I am always talking about, this part I didn't get to talk about as much as, you know, my woo-woo side, the manifestation, the law of attraction and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's the thing. When you be the best-selling author that you already are. Think about this. Mm-hmm. That best-selling author is already inside you somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That person's already there. You have that book inside you. That best-selling author is already there. If you approached your life as that best-selling author, because you already are, you don't mm-hmm. You really don't need Amazon, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, or New York Times to tell you this. You are already a best-selling author.
That's right.
When you embody that best-selling author and being that best-selling author, all your decisions become very easy. Am mm-hmm. I writing today? Well, of course I am. That's what best-selling authors do. Mm. Am I going to put out a high-ticket coaching program that goes along with my credibility and authority with being a bestselling author? Heck yeah. Am I going to do well on my sales call as a bestselling author? Yes, I am. So all those actions now become very easy. You're not procrastinating. You're not trying to convince yourself of it. And when you embody the person who is actually inside you, because you're more than just bestselling author, I'm just going to say it's all of it, right? Yeah. When you embody that person, all your decisions become super easy. Your yes is a yes. Your no is a no. Your boundaries are your boundaries. It's a very beautiful thing.
Mm. I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay, Vicky, people are going to be asking me how to connect with you. How do they take a next step? If they want to be a best-selling author, they want to learn more about how to work with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, so you can always email me. Best email is Vicky@VickyGould.com. I'm going to assume that you'll put that in the show notes or something because everybody spells my name wrong. So Vicky@VickyGould.com. You can also look at the Easy Writer program on my life-changingenergy.com/easywriter2025. And then I'll give you that as well. We didn't even get to talk about that part of things that, you know, I have life-changing energy is another thing that I do. All my woo-woo sound healing certifications and all that is over there. And the book thing, because so many healers want to also be in a book or write a book, we did release a lot of that. So we do also, just a side note, do co-authored anthologies as well that people write a chapter in.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah. Well, beautiful. Thank you so much for being with us. And Brenda, thank you for being my amazing co-host as always.
Thank you for having me. And I love, love, love speaking with Vicky today. I'm going to talk to her some more.
So great meeting you.
All right. Well, sisters, thanks for joining us today. If something resonated with you that you heard, would you just let us know? Give us a review. Share this episode with a woman that you know has a story inside her that she needs to share with the world. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, I want to invite you to join my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies for clarity and confidence and powerful connections so that you can build the business and the life that you love. And Brenda, how can people get connected with you?
Okay, ladies, you can find me at brendastroud.com. Email is hello@brendastroud.com. And also on Roar Society or our Roar Facebook group on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.